I want to begin by saying how very, very pleased I am to be with you here once again. As we continue on this journey together, there are so many wonderful things happening and things being planned as members of the Parish of the Valley. And I want to pay tribute to your ministry here at Holy Trinity. There are so many gifted people in this congregation working so very, very hard. Leafing through the bulletin this morning gives you many examples of that. And I just want to commend you for the wonderful work that you are engaging with here with Matthew and Jillian and all your clergy. The days ahead of us as a church and parish will be filled with many challenges. But I'm also very much aware that God has blessed us and given us rich resources in this beloved church of ours. And I'm very optimistic and hopeful as I look forward to the work that we are called to share in across the Parish of the Valley. Jillian has been making a list of all our parish families so that the clergy will have all the names and contact numbers if one of us are away and an emergency arises. And we were blown away to realize that there are close to 600 families on that parish list, representing thousands of Anglicans here in this region. What an amazing base to work with and to build on. Together we are strong and mighty, and we have many exciting days to look ahead to. Earlier in the service, I showed the children a picture of Susan and I dressed up and ready to go to Buckingham Palace. And there have been criticisms voiced about the royal family over the years, and some are warranted for sure. But when I think of Queen Elizabeth, I find it hard to imagine a better example of the finest qualities of what the office of a monarch should entail. Devotion, dedication, honesty, and decency in word and action, self-sacrifice and love for people and for country. On this Reign of Christ Sunday, or the Feast of Christ the King, we recall that the place of the monarch in our system of government is very different from many of Queen Elizabeth's ancestors, and certainly very different from the dominant and corrupt role that many kings assumed in ancient days and in the days of Jesus. And sadly, her example is also very different from the actions and behaviors of a number of the world leaders in this generation. Some of the nonsense we are seeing at the present time, by comparison, is an utter disgrace. It is interesting to note that the Feast of the Reign of Christ is a relatively modern celebration in the life of the church. Unlike many of our ancient holy days, saints' days, and observances, this one having been instituted in 1925. At that time, the world was recovering from the devastation of World War I, that shook and challenged many of the assumptions and beliefs about the nature of power and authority in Western culture. New forms of leadership and government were on the rise. Totalitarianism in fascist Italy and Nazi Germany, communism in the Soviet Union, and here in North America, another type of control and power over people was beginning to take control. consumerism that still wields authority over much of our society today. Each generation has wrestled with the problem of how to entrust the task of good government and oversight of the common good in a way that doesn't ultimately lead to corruption. And that challenge remains with us to the present day. As one commentator states, our nations continue to struggle with false gods and ill-placed faith in leadership, which often proves to be self-serving. Stalin, Hitler, and Mussolini are gone, but their greed, their selfishness, and hunger for ultimate power are ever with us. As you and I continue in our work of ministry together, our readings from Scripture today offer us an important reflection upon the work of Christian leadership in any generation. In our gospel lesson this morning, we come to the conclusion of our journey with Christ as he is crucified along with two criminals. And as he hangs there on the cross, he is mocked, scoffed at, and abused. Jesus' kingship is perceived by the soldiers only in terms of the kind of leadership that they recognize: military and political power. And so they challenged him to take control of his own destiny and to save himself. What kind of king is this Jesus of Nazareth who hangs there in what seems to be such a hopeless and helpless state? What kind of leader is this? Is the question that the soldiers are asking, and we are challenged this morning to answer. Our answer begins with the voice, an unexpected voice, of one of the two criminals who also have been crucified on Calvary that day. Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Not their kingdom. Not the kingdom of Herod and the Roman Empire or those soldiers, but when you come into your kingdom. What does this man see that so many others have missed? It is the leadership of one who has power but chooses frailty or humility. One who has authority but will not use it under any circumstances for personal gain. As we have journeyed with Christ throughout the course of the past church year, we have walked with a king who was born in a stable, who was trained as a carpenter, who called himself a shepherd, one, as Jeremiah speaks of one who gathers people together, not divides people, to rule and conquer. Who died a lonely death so that others may come to know the true meaning of life. As you and I wrestle with what all of this means for us today, some 2,000 years later, we are reminded of one very important truth: that as Christians, we live in another world. We are citizens of another country, hearing the commands and pleadings of another king that turns the power structures of this world upside down. In our Old Testament lesson, the prophet Jeremiah paints a wonderful picture of this other king and that other country. "Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold. And they shall be fruitful and multiply. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. Last week, I was getting a few things put aside for a trip that Susan and I are taking down south in the new year. And one of the first things I put aside was my passport and my Nexus card. My passport and Nexus card identify me as a citizen, a very proud citizen of this great nation of ours. And they contain various pieces of information that allow government officials to know who I am from a certain perspective. It is a very precious document for me personally. But I have another passport of sorts. Another document that identifies me and should define me even more profoundly than my Canadian citizenship. And it is called a baptism certificate. The faith I profess and the promises I have made, embodied and lived out in the name of Jesus Christ each and every day of my life, no matter how imperfect that life is. This morning, as we celebrate the reign of Christ, we are given a model for all those who would accept the privilege of exercising leadership and authority in any generation. Triumphalism in all its forms, power in all its guises, can always and should always be measured against the yardstick that Jesus of Nazareth offers us. Do I want others, those whom I lead, those who I teach, those who I minister to, those in my care, do I want them to have what I have, even at the cost of my own deprivation and suffering? Next Sunday, we begin a new year in the church calendar with the first Sunday of Advent. This holy season is a time for us all to remember that no matter what the future may bring, we belong to another country, another kingdom. And may our Advent preparations help to open our hearts and our lives once again to the coming of Christ the King. Amen.